take the mic or not, so I waited a few moments. That's really, really sweet, that song by Lauren, so thank you very much for playing that. And Lynn, I have no capability to record right now, so I just wanted to say that so you would know that I definitely need your recording of today's weekly gathering. But I am getting my computer back today, so hopefully soon I'll be back in business with all of my capabilities. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. So hi everyone, welcome to our weekly gathering. It's wonderful to come into the room and to see all of your names. I can't see your faces, but most of you I've met, so when I see your names, I also see your faces, and it's really wonderful to see you all. We are going to start our gathering this morning the same way that we start all of our gatherings, a wonderful tradition, actually, which is practiced in nearly every church in America, and it's the tradition of greeting one another in love. So I'm going to play a song that I traditionally play during this time by David Primal and Mitten called Awakening. And if everyone could just say hello to one another, we'll start off with love.
Calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody. Melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
To greet one another. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. Awakening Together has a purpose and five core values. And core value number three is the one I'm going to focus on today. This is that core value. We accept one true self which is one, presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. I have some announcements to make, really one announcement. I'm going to focus on just one announcement today because it's a little bit of a big one with a lot of details. Some of you may have seen an email yesterday, or you may have noticed it in the daily update today, that our first election process is beginning. We are going to elect 3 new people to the member board of trustees. They will be added to the 7 that are already there, increasing the size of the member board to 10. The election process begins with a nomination process, and that nomination process begins today and will remain open until June 22nd, 2 weeks from today. So really it's 15 full days of opportunity to nominate people. Each and every member can nominate up to 3 different people. And you do that by either suggesting a name yourself, and you can nominate yourself, by the way, if you really feel that you want to serve on the member board, that's wonderful. It's wonderful to have people who know they want to be there. So if you really feel you'd like to serve on the member board, please nominate yourself. You can also nominate another member. You might want to check with them first to make sure it's okay with them, but you can nominate another member as well. But another way to nominate people is to look at the list of people that are being nominated by others and just kind of agree with that nomination. And that's very important because in order to get on the ballot for voting, 10% of the assembly needs to nominate someone. So, let's use the name John Smith as an example. If one person, one member nominates John Smith, then we still need about 35 other people to go and agree with that nomination in order to get the 10% to get John Smith on the ballot. So again, you can nominate up to 3 people. You can do it either by suggesting a name yourself or by agreeing with a nomination that someone else has already made. And both are important. According to our Constitution, in order to serve on the Member Board of Trustees, you need to be a member of Awakening Together for 2 years, which no one is, because we just started July 21st, 2013. But there is an or there. You need to be a member for 2 years, or you need to be a charter member. Now, a charter member is anyone who joined Awakening Together in its first 3 months. So that's anyone who joined between July 21st and October 21st of last year. And actually, we had exactly 200 charter members. But 12 of those people already serve on the Member Board of Trustees or the Board of Directors. So that leaves 188 charter members who can be nominated for these 3 seats. In order to get full information about the nomination process, you can go to our website, awakening-together.org. Click on the 4 members link, and the very top option under that menu right now says Member Board Nominations. So you go to that page, 4 members, Member Board Nominations. And you'll really find 3 things there. One, you'll find the list of nominated members, which right now is empty because we just opened for nominations this morning, but that will be updated daily. So you can see the list of members that are being nominated by others. You also find a link to the list of 188 charter members who are eligible to be nominated, and you'll find another link to full election details in case you want to read all about the election process. Again, that is 4 members, member board nominations, and will be open for nominations between today and 2 weeks from today, July 22nd. And So hopefully you'll visit the page often, and hopefully everyone will take advantage of their opportunity to nominate three different people, either by suggesting a name or by agreeing with a name that's already been suggested. By the way, if you're nominating someone, whether you're suggesting a name or whether you're agreeing with a name that's already been suggested, you do it the same way, and that's by sending an email to election@awakening-together.org, and you will find that email address on the member board nominations page. Again, that's election@awakening-together.org. All right, I'm going to play our opening song for the day. Oh, we have some nominations, Jay says. So I checked, I thought, like an hour or so ago, and there were none. But maybe he hasn't updated the page yet. He updates it daily. He says, okay, he's updating it now, so they're not there yet. He says our first three nominees are Sydney Haskell, Myron Jones, and Lisa Natoli. So those are our first three nominees. And again, we are looking for people to agree with the nominees, and I'm sure nominees will grow. We'll see as the list gets longer, but it looks like we're off to a good start. All right, I would like to play our opening song for today. If I can get my technology to agree with me one moment. All right, this song is called Love is a Mystery, and it's by Stephen Walters.
Would you like to rock a little bit? You know love is a mystery that'll never be explained. But you know I got this deep, deep feeling. This one truth will never change. If you really want to know what love is, you know you've got to feel the pain. If you want to grow a garden out on a dry and dusty plain, you're gonna need to plant the seed. You're gonna need the sunshine. You're gonna need the rain. When you're talking about love, you know that one and the same. Do it, Steve. Combination between the bitter and the sweet. Be no good, one without the other. Let me tell you, sister, let me tell you, brother, love's a mystery that'll never be explained. But you know I got this deep, deep feeling. Well, this one truth will never change. If you really want to know what love is, you know you've got to feel the pain. If your love is gone and left you, and at night you're calling out her name, you know you've got to feel just what you're feeling. And maybe things are gonna change. You know the blues are here to help us, is the truth now. To feel the pain, that's why I love it. You've got to feel pain. Oh, if you want to know what love is. You know you've got to feel the pain. Oh yes, oh yes, you do. Thank you.
Yeah, Sue says that's awesome guitar, and it's an incredible song, and it's an interesting topic. Not everybody wants to hear "You've Got to Feel the Pain," but that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the process of healing and the role that pain has in that process. By the way, Jay says he has updated the website, the member board nominations page, with our first three nominations. Sydney Haskell, that is Brent Haskell's wife, for those of you who don't know. Myron Jones, which I think most of you know, and Lisa Natoli, which I think most of you know. All right, shall we pray? As I close my eyes to pray today, and drop deep into the heart. The first two thoughts, although they aren't exactly thoughts, the first two thoughts that come to mind are stillness and gratitude. And once those two thoughts join together, it is very difficult to go anywhere else. Because there is something very, very at home about stillness and gratitude together. Very at peace, of course, but also very at home. It is a quiet nothingness that may scare us when we're very attached to the ego. But when that attachment to ego has been at least loosened, so we no longer think we need that hectic movement, that hectic movement of mind in order to be, then there's something very, very, very at home about the stillness and the gratitude that comes with it. This gratitude where there is just being, which is existing, which is living, without outer experience, yes, but very centered and very whole. And then what's really wonderful about this very centered, very whole home called stillness gratitude is that if we spend time there, we spend a lot of time there, then when we open the door and go back out into the world, somehow our knowledge of home stays on us, stays in us, stays with us. So that the silence gratitude is seen to be what we are. And then there's appreciation for what the eyes see, what the ears hear, what the nose smells, what the mouth tastes, what the hand touches. It's appreciation for it, but hectic movement doesn't seem to exist anymore. Even if we seem to be moving around quickly, accomplishing a lot of tasks, there's no hectic movement. Because there is only gratitude stillness. And we are always at home. Because home is what we are. As a prayer, I want to say thank you for everyone who knows this experience. I want to say thank you, speaking for each of us. Thank you for the grace that brought us to know this experience. whether we know it as a consistent experience or whether it's an experience we seem to go in and out of, or whether it's an experience we've only had a little taste of, I still say thank you for this experience of knowing stillness gratitude as our home and as ourself. And then I also pray for those who do not know this experience, who wonder what in the world I'm speaking of right now. I pray for the realization that allow the healing, that guide to the opportunity to realize the experience of stillness gratitude, which is always present, sometimes covered up by our attraction to hectic movement. Amen. Thank you very much for joining me in that prayer. And now we will turn to our reading. I have invited Ken Gibson to read for us today. He's going to be reading from the Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, NTI. And he will read NTI, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, which begins on page 383. Ken, the mic is yours.
Good morning, everyone. As Regina just said, NTI, 2 Timothy, chapter 1. It is time to look within at the darkness that blinds you to your awareness of life. You will see many things, all of which are false. Hold my hand and know it is your own truth that you hold to as we look together at all you are not. You see yourself as less than, and so you seem to resent those who act as if to be greater than the one you see as you. All of this is based on the measuring stick of personhood. I do not want you to deny how you feel. Denial is not the way of salvation. I want you to look at it and feel it with me. As we look at this feeling of less than and the resentment that is noticed for the one who acts out the role of greater than, notice that what you are feeling is a feeling. Move away from the thoughts of resentment to the feeling the thoughts evoke. Explore within you the feeling. Can you see that it is just a feeling? It is an experience and is nothing more than that. The thoughts that evoke the feeling are nothing. They are mere props. It is the feeling or the experience that is the goal of the Son of God. You have set out to have an experience, so let go of the thoughts and focus on the experience they evoke. Life is a roller coaster of feelings, but when you are lost in your thoughts, you rob yourself of the feelings you set out to experience. It is as if you skim the surface, but you do not go in for a full flavor of experience, and so the desire for experience remains at a level of which you are not conscious. The unanswered question remains unanswered because you have not allowed yourself the full experience by the distraction of your thoughts. The good teaching that you have been entrusted with is the teaching of your innocence. This is the teaching you must accept if you are to experience the fullness of your experience and let go of your curiosity. When you feel guilty for desiring experience, you cover it over with thoughts. You may call them self-rationalizations or a tool of denial. Thoughts are a distraction from desire caused by the fear of desire. Yet while you allow yourself to be distracted from it, the desire or the wish remains. Your guilt is a misperception and nothing more, but your fear of your own misperception has become an obstacle. It is time to let that obstacle go. Release yourself by accepting your own innocence. God has granted you the right to have experience. You have within you the desire to have experience. This desire remains until you have let it go. But you cannot fear it and let it go also. You must let yourself realize the experience to see that the experience can hold no limits that could ever limit or hinder you. So Reens ends the reading, letting go of the mic.
Thank you very much, Ken. I appreciate that. Dove asked me for a topic. That's something, you know, that I've started doing recently. Maybe Dove and Phil did it for longer, but at Dove's request, I've started providing a topic name prior to Sunday morning. I never did provide a topic name prior to Sunday morning. I would talk, and whatever came, came, and then I would look at what came, and I would give it a name. And now the name is coming first, which is kind of interesting, because I still show up knowing what the reading is, but not knowing what I will say. And I promise to always do that, because then we allow the spontaneity of wisdom in the moment to come through rather than some plan. But I have begun to at least select a name so that Dove can send it out in an email on Saturday, letting people know what the topic of Wednesday morning is. And so last night when I asked, you know, within, what is the name? What came was How to Heal as the name for this morning, How to Heal. And when I say that, what you guys can't see is that my heart is blowing open and my fingers are tingling and my toes are tingling and there's a great excitement and a great joy in me. And the reason this is there is because I have a friend recently who is in the Minister Preparation Program, and he recently told me that he has now learned how to heal. And I'm very happy about that, and just the excitement of even one person really understanding now how to heal brings me great joy. But I am also aware that there are a number of other people for whom this has not yet clicked. It's something that kind of clicks on the inside. It's the realization I talked about in the prayer. The realization that leads you to healing is the realization of how to heal. And until that realization comes, there can be a feeling of stuck. You know, you'll hear people say things like feel the feelings and that kind of thing, and you're like, I'm doing that. I'm feeling the feelings, but I'm not healing. And that's because, you know, the click needs to come from the inside. We can't really tell anyone how to heal. But when you realize how to heal, you realize that all the words have always been there. You know, like, I need do nothing. Rest, accept, and trust. And all the other things that we've heard, they all were pointing in the right direction, but the understanding needed to happen on the inside. Well, for me, NTI 2 Timothy was a big part of that click, a big part of that knowing how to heal happening. And in fact, some people can tell you that I've told them 2 Timothy can save your life. And the reason I say that is because it saved mine. So I want to look at the philosophy behind NTI 2 Timothy and just share what was helpful to me. And maybe it will be helpful to someone else. A part of what we need to understand before we even look at NTI 2 Timothy is NTI's story of how the world came to be. And that story starts in NTI Romans chapter 2. In NTI Romans chapter 2, there was this stillness, gratitude, love, isnessness that had no form to it. But yet it's intelligent. And within this nothingness, somehow a question arose. And nearly every spiritual tradition that points toward truth has this same beginning. The words that are applied to the question are slightly different. But if you really look deeply at them, they're all the same. For instance, I heard someone while I was in Costa Rica, I went to a kirtan, and the singer there had a song that she sang that said the very first question that this nothingness asked is, who am I? And that began this whole process of trying to discover a self, which led to an appearance of many selves who really have forgotten who they were, because they were the one who asked the question, right? A Course in Miracles simply refers to it as a tiny mad idea. In Genesis, in the Bible, it talks about wanting the knowledge of good and bad, the same knowledge that God had. But in NTI Romans chapter 2, it says that first desire that came out of this nothingness was, what if everything was as it is not? Or what if everything wasn't as it is? I think that was it. What if everything wasn't as it is? So it was a question wondering, what would it be like if everything was different? You know, so what is different than stillness, gratitude, love, freedom, intelligence as a nothingness? And the answer for that would be chaos and hecticness and movement and lots of things to do, indifference and hatred, and disagreement and war. Many, many differences and prejudices and biases and preferences. And the appearance of lack of freedom, the appearance of some being able to rule over others, or for diseases to come that, you know, that make us victim to our own bodies, and all of these types of things, weather that we can't control. Everything that we kind of call bad. You know, if you're not afraid of the word evil, some people would say evil was born out of this idea, or at least the appearance of evil, the seemingness of evil. Everything that was opposite of truth came from this idea. But the interesting thing was the idea was a desire to experience that. You know, what would it be like if? That's saying, I want to experience this. I want to have an answer. I want to know for myself, what would it be like if? Srinivasagadatta Maharaj says, the only way to know a thing is to be it. The only way to know a thing is to be it. So, the only way to know what it would be like if everything was different than truth was to have an experience of being that. And if you look at the false self personality, especially the wrong mind I want to focus on right now, the wrong mind, false self personality that you appear to be, right? No matter what type you ended up with, no matter whether you're the thief, or whether you're the sheriff who captures this thief but is very judgmental of thieves and thinks they're very stupid, and why the heck couldn't they have been different, right? No matter what role you play in this world, your wrong-minded aspect is the answer to the question. What would it be like if everything was different? Just look at your wrong mind. and look at the wrong mind of the world as a whole. Look at all the things that happen in the world that are as a result of believing the wrong mind. And that's the answer to the question. And if we were able to look at that, I mean, imagine with wisdom for a moment. Imagine right now, sitting right here in your chair, you had this idea. You know what? I think I'll just shoot so-and-so. Whoever you want to pick. I think I'll just shoot so-and-so. And then play that out and say, well, if I shoot them, chances are I'll get caught. Chances are I'll end my life in prison. I'll be taken away from the ones I love, from the things I love. I don't really want to do that. I think I probably won't shoot the person. You see how quickly an idea can be over if you look at it with wisdom? Like, shooting someone isn't a great idea. Well, what N.T.I. Roman says is that wisdom did appear to let us know that this idea that we had, which the Course calls a tiny mad idea, you know, maybe wasn't something that we really wanted. It wasn't our true desire, just like shooting someone isn't our true desire. But it says that what we did was we became engrossed with the idea. It's as if we went in and focused on, but what if I did shoot him? You know, we went into that idea further. And we really thought about it deeply with all of our passion, with all of the cells in our body, except we had no body, so I'm using a symbol here. Only again, the idea we went into is, what would it be like if everything was different from truth, from what is? And we went into that very, very deeply. That's like going into our individual wrong minds very, very deeply. And we've all had the experience of going into our individual wrong mind very deeply, even if we didn't shoot someone. Hopefully none of us have, because that isn't the most enjoyable experience on the planet. But we've all done something that we did because we thought about it so deeply with our wrong mind, right? We went very, very, very deep into that wrong mind. We were engrossed by the wrong mind, and then we lived out that idea. Well, that's what this is saying that we really did as a wholeness. We went very deeply into that idea of what if everything was different. And now we are living out that idea. That's what this is. We didn't look at it with wisdom and realize it's not a good idea. Instead, we went deeply into it. And what NTI is saying is, we need to be able to look at these ideas with wisdom in order to realize that we don't want them and be free of them. Looking at them in the way that we started looking at it, with that engrossed by attitude or attention, that engrossed by attention, isn't helpful. I would never recommend that anybody be engrossed by their wrong mind. That's not helpful. It wasn't helpful in the beginning, and it's not helpful now. But it's also not helpful to deny it, to be afraid of it, to run from it. And that's what NTI 1 Timothy is telling us. Now, Kathy has just written in the room, murderous thoughts not acted on, but still held within the mind. You know, let's imagine that there was someone that I disliked. I can't actually think of anyone, but let's just pretend. We'll use John Smith. That's the name we used earlier as the nominee, the made-up nominee. So let's use John Smith as the imagined person that I don't like. I don't like John Smith. I don't like anything about him. I don't even like to hear him breathe when he's around me. His breath is too noisy, right? If I continue to contemplate deeply within my mind, be engrossed by my ideas of how much I don't like John Smith, there's some kind of a poison that comes from that. Whether it's just a poison of me never being able to be happy because John Smith is in my life, or whether it's a poison of someday me acting out it in some way, telling John Smith what an idiot he is and a scum he is and blah, 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 and then he believes my words and he begins this process of self-hatred, or some other poison, or I do go so far as to pull a gun and shoot him. Some kind of a poison is there, and we're engrossed in our wrong mind. That's just never helpful. But it's also not helpful if I strongly dislike John Smith, and I pretend like I don't. Oh, John Smith, he's such a wonderful person. I'm so glad he's a part of our team. And then in my mind, oh, I just hate that John Smith, but I don't want anybody to see this. Oh, John Smith, that's also not helpful. That creates, you know, what you could call a clog. Being engrossed in the wrong mind creates a poison, but not being honest about the wrong mind creates a clog. And that clog somehow backs up to create a poison. You know, just like my septic system at my house got clogged one time and it backed up and we have poop all over the basement. That's what happens with a clog. A clog at some point also results in a poison. So being engrossed in my thoughts is a poison. Denying my thoughts is a poison. Those are not the way of healing. It should be very clear that poison is not how to heal. So how do we heal? You know, again, what NTI teaches is this desire to experience, key word here is experience, this desire to experience something than truth remains to be here because we have not yet looked at it with wisdom. If it is still here because we have not yet looked at it with wisdom, it means that looking at it with wisdom is how you heal. And looking at it with wisdom is not being engrossed in it. It is not denying it. It is allowing the experience and looking at it with wisdom. So how do you allow the experience and look at it with wisdom? Well, number one, you don't be engrossed in the wrong mind. So if I have this experience of hating John Smith, I hate the way he walks, I hate the way he talks, I hate the way he breathes, I hate the things he says every time he speaks, I hate the way other people love him. You know, I just hate everything about him. If I'm having all this feeling of hate in me and I'm still listening to those thoughts, that is not healing because I'm engrossed in the thoughts. That's making poison. So the way that you have an experience that is a healing experience is, number one, you have to choose not to be engrossed in the thoughts. And, you know, I'm sure everybody finds their own way of doing this, but I can only share my way. So if I knew that I wanted to heal this experience of hatred, and really it's not about John Smith, to be honest, it's about this experience of hatred. Hatred is something different than truth. And remember, that was the original request. I want to experience something different than truth. Well, hatred is that. So I said, all of us, that I said, I want to experience hatred. John Smith is just the prompt to give me what I wanted. But what I wanted was the experience of hatred. That's the experience of something different than truth. So as soon as John Smith comes around and starts breathing, and my hatred kicks in, if I want to heal now, I realize that John Smith is nothing but the prop. The prop that is leading me to the experience that I wanted to look at. To have, to know, to even seem to be. So I drop away from John Smith because, to be honest, he's meaningless. He's nothing but a prop. And I drop deep into the feeling, but I drop into the feeling with wisdom, which to me is an open curiosity that's really still asking the question, do I really want this? It's an unanswered question. We haven't yet answered the question. So I drop into the hatred. I drop into all of those feelings of hatred. And I look at it and I feel it. And I notice what it's doing to the body. Whenever the mind gets engaged, I just realize that the mind is engaged with it. But I say, well, let go of the mind right now. I'm not interested in the mind. I want to look at this feeling of hatred. And I drop back into hatred and I feel everything that it has to feel. I let it get as big as it wants to get, and I keep looking at it with the gentle little question, is this really what I want? This feeling of hatred, is this really what I want? And you know, if you just keep looking, and just keep gently, non-judgmentally, asking in a very open way, you don't even answer the question, you just keep asking the question, is this really what I want? There's a wisdom in you that knows, no, it's not true. Because what we really want, what we all really want, is joy. You know, freedom, joy, love, peace, you know, whatever you would call that. I think some people call it bliss. That's what we all really want, and we know that. We're not idiots. It's just that we don't take the time to look with wisdom at everything else that we're playing with. It's like we're playing with a knife, little children playing with a knife, and then at the same time pretending like the knife is not what's causing our cuts and causing our bleeding and causing our pain. But if we would look and see, oh, it's the knife that keeps cutting me, we might say, ah, I don't want to play with a knife anymore because I don't actually like being cut. So healing is looking with wisdom, which we all have naturally in us. We all naturally know what we truly want. We all naturally, nobody has to teach you that. Nobody. We all naturally know what we truly want. So we just have to not be engrossed in the wrong mind and not be in denial or afraid of the wrong mind. And when something is conjured up, whoops, here's my phone. I'm going to have to let that go into voicemail. I don't know what to do here. Hold on one moment. When something is conjured up emotionally, to take the time and go and look at that with wisdom. That's all healing is. Healing is learning to just look. You know, and again, ask, is this really what I want? That type of thing. NTI says on page 384, the good teaching that you have been entrusted with is the teaching of your innocence. That's because we have this idea in our mind that if I'm having these emotions of hatred or anything else that we perceive as negative or evil, if I'm having these thoughts and I'm having these emotions, it means that I'm bad, yeah. And NTI is saying that is not true. What it means is that you were curious. You asked a question, you said, what would it be like if? And here's the answer. Now why don't you finish this by looking at the answer and see if it's what you want. Do you see how benign that is? You're not bad, you're not guilty. You were just curious. You said, what would it be like if? Well, take the time to really look at it, really be with it. And then ask again, is this what I want? Don't block the experience. Don't stop the experience. But look at the experience. Innocently allow the answer to the question you innocently asked. And you'll know. You'll be done with it. The good teaching that you have been entrusted with is the teaching of your innocence. This is the teaching you must accept if you are to experience the fullness of your experience and let go of your curiosity. When you feel guilty for desiring experience, you cover over it with thoughts. If I feel guilty about this feeling of hatred, I'm going to escape it as soon as possible in some way. I'm either going to go back to believing John Smith is the cause, it's not me, I'm the innocent one, in a lie. The lie of innocence rather than the truth of innocence, because the truth of innocence would allow me to look at it. Or I'm going to find some other escape hatch. If I feel guilty for experiencing it, I'm going to find an escape hatch. I will not allow the experience to complete itself. I will not get my answer, and therefore it will come back again. So I need to trust that I'm innocent. No matter how negative, how strongly negative this is that I'm experiencing. And again, remember, we're only talking about experiencing it by looking at it within ourselves. We're not talking about acting it out. We're not encouraging being engrossed in the mind and following it. We're talking about dropping into it and looking at it, which is very different. But as we drop into it and look at it, we still want to allow it within us to blossom to its fullness so we can really see, is this what I want? The good teaching that you've been entrusted with is the teaching of your innocence. This is the teaching you must accept if you are to experience the fullness of your experience and let go of your curiosity. When you feel guilty for desiring experience, you cover over it with thoughts. You may call them self-realizations or a tool of denial. Thoughts are a distraction from desire caused by the fear of desire. Yet while you allow yourself to be distracted from it, the desire or the wish remains. So again, every time we run back into the thoughts of how much I hate John Smith, or every time we run into the thoughts about how bad I am for hating John Smith, or every time we run into the thoughts that somehow are saying, I got to find a way out of this hatred, I got to find a way to escape it, it's not good to be here, what can I do to get out of this? We're distracting ourselves from the experience when it's looking at the experience that heals. Quietly, gently, allowing, and asking with wisdom, is this what I really want? And we do know the answer. So with that said, I'm going to play a song by Kirtanis so we can contemplate that teaching. And then, of course, afterwards, you all will be invited to share. I see comments on the board, so maybe you all do have some things to share. This song is by Kirtana, and it's called I Said That I Would Sing.
I first heard about this place, this little lump of clay, on a message board in space. About a billion stars away, the ad read floating garden orb, circling the sun. Help us build a heaven here, we need one more volunteer. So I said that I would come. Asked when I applied to name some service I could bring. I think service should be choice. So I said that I would sing. But I guess I got the job. I don't mean to complain, but it's not like they described in that little classified that I read before I came. I somehow missed a turn. Was this even the right place? Had I fallen for a scam, or was it more a fall from grace? Oh, it's beautiful, all right. How I love the desert sky and the quiet mountain lake is enough to make me cry. I did not come prepared for the density or strife, for the cruel and inhumane injustices and pain that can pass here for life. So from very early on, I grew restless here because of this longing to go. I could not say where home was. In answer to my prayer, or more truthfully, my scream, my beloved self appeared. Come to wake me from this dream with a diamond voice declare. Is not some distant star or some heavenly reward that your days are marching toward, but the truth of who you are. An awareness so immense, it holds all of this inside. As she spoke, my mind fell still, and my tears would not subside. From the arms of grace I knew that all suffering could cease. We could rest in this embrace. Just trusted in this peace to even try to find the words. Can be a sacrilegious thing, so I'd just as soon be silent.
I noticed just as I began playing the song, Ken wrote, when I realized that my belief that I am bad was only a feeling and not a truth, my healing began. Of course, Ken is the one who read today from 2 Timothy. Ken is also the dear friend that told me recently that he's learned how to heal. And notice the key. It's exactly the key that's described in 2 Timothy. He learned it's only a feeling. It's only an experience. I also noticed people asking who was doing the singing. That is Kirtana. And by the way, Kirtana is the one who is going to be singing at our Awakening Together Satsang in Santa Barbara. She is the artist that we've asked to come. She will be singing a little bit throughout. She'll be singing a little bit, you know, probably before and after Magdi speaks and has satsang with us, and before and after Timothy speaks and has satsang with us. But she will also do a complete concert satsang herself on Saturday night. And I am also in love with Kirtana. I'm really enjoying her songs deeply. So I was happy to share one with you today. And Jay is telling us we have more nominees. Larry Lawhorn and Jennifer Miley Nahulu have just been nominated. Sue says Kirtana is going to be in London next Monday. So those of you who are near London may get the chance to hear Kirtana there. So this is the time that everyone is allowed to share based on today's reading or today's teaching, or if you want to share about your love for Kirtana, that's okay too. Helena wants to know where in London. So Sue, I don't know if you have a link or something that you can share with Helena. She is also in England. She might be able to go see Kirtana. If you have something you would like to share, please raise your hand and I will turn the mic over to you. All right, Jay, the mic is yours.
I have a somewhat relevant sharing from sort of some of the images you were talking about during your sermon, Regina. I was with Gabby, this gal that I've been dating last night, and we watched a movie called Thor: Dark World. And there's this quote-unquote evil substance that accidentally got put into the female lead of the movie that has the capability of destroying the universe, etc. And this other sort of dark elf evil dude knows that he kind of woke up from this long slumber because he felt the power of this substance that got transferred into her, and he comes looking for it. So when he finally gets to her, he reaches his hand out, and this is the dark dude, right? Evil elf or whatever he was, reaches his hand out, magically lifts her up, and sort of starts to pull this poison out of her. It's kind of a red, I think it's made to look like blood, right? And she kind of lets out this pain, and this poison starts to flow out of her because he's trying to pool it and collect it so he can have it for himself because he thinks it's going to make him powerful, which in the story it will. And as this poison was leaving her, this female lead character, she had a glimpse of everything getting destroyed. And as she was finally free of the poison, Thor, the hero of the story, takes his hammer and he zaps this poison when it's out in the open and it's exposed, and he's going to kill it. He's going to destroy that poison. And there's all this lightning and explosion, and you think for a second that the poison was destroyed. And then all of a sudden, these little red crystal bits start to rise up off the ground. See, the poison wasn't destroyed. It just simply reassembled and entered into the dark character. And I think that was such an interesting symbol that relates to what Regina was talking about, because you can't destroy hatred. That's the poison I saw symbolized in this movie. Anger. Poisonous, venomous hatred. Just intense desire for nothing but destruction. And this poison can't be destroyed. It has to be allowed to die, exactly like how Regina was saying, allowed to be healed by the corrective aspect of the mind. And so this was a very interesting sermon that was right after I saw this scene in the movie. It seems so perfectly relevant that it drives home in me that my own fears and my own stuff that comes up, I simply can't zap it out or destroy it. I cannot, even though it's uncomfortable when it comes up. I have to be with it, and it's good to know that I'm not alone. That the spirit of the Holy Spirit is with me, love is with me, and the only way to let any form of darkness go is to love it, to be with it, to allow it to be healed. So thank you for that, Regina. I wanted to share that.
Thank you very much, Jay. Yeah, it's fun to watch how the things that we watch, like movies and stuff, or even the fictional books that we read, how they can be translated or interpreted by the corrective aspect of our mind in order to be helpful. The corrective aspect of our mind is always at work. As A Course in Miracles says in Lesson 49, God's voice speaks to me all throughout the day. And that's true if we listen to it. I mean, it's always there. We're just not always listening. But if we listen to our corrective aspect all of the time, it is always interpreting everything in a helpful way for as long as interpretation is needed. To be honest, there comes a point where interpretation is not needed and things can go silent. But as long as interpretation is needed, it is always interpreting in the right way, which means pointing towards truth. Would someone else like to share? We do still have 5 minutes left for sharing. All right, Sue, the mic is yours.
More of a question, Regina. I loved your teaching today. It seems to me that, in my experience, certain things take longer to heal, from my perspective. During the day, things come up because of my practice. Yeah, some things are very easy to forgive and to let go of. Another thing that I feel like I've been trying to heal for the past year and a half is finally going. Finally, after much wrestling with over a year and a half. And then there are some other things, childhood things, that still I go back to and say, Holy Spirit, help me to look at this a different way. Am I abnormal, Regina? Thank you.
No, not at all. You're not at all abnormal. You're extremely normal, it sounds like. And I'm glad you brought that up because it gives me the chance to maybe clarify. You know, the one thing about truth, when you're teaching truth, which really is pointing towards truth, truth is something that's very whole. And we can never speak in wholeness. We can only speak in parts, which means no matter what we say and no matter how clear it is, it's always only a portion of what needs to be said. And so you've brought up another portion that we'll say today. And that portion is that, just as you said, some beliefs are very deeply held, or you could say, you know, they've been believed for a very, very long time. And some people would call them very, very repressed. Some people would call them unconscious. But the point is that looking at it once may not be enough. You know, I looked at the belief in unworthiness, rejectability, self-hatred. To me, these things are all the same, guilt. I looked at that for years, and that would seem to be many different instances of things, you know, bringing it up and me looking at it again. But the point is, the process is consistent. What I want to do is I want to be consistent, whether the process is an hour or whether the process is 10 years, it's the same process. And that is, every time it is triggered, I do not want to be engrossed by the mind. I do not want to deny it. I want to go in and look at it. And I want to, you know, look at it, allow it to be, allow it to flourish, and just kind of, in a wisdom way, say, is this what I really want? It's a very, you know, some people would call that meditation. It's like dropping into meditation every single time it arises. And what I want to do is be very consistent about that. I don't want to do that once and then the next 20 times be engrossed by the story. I want to be doing the same practice every time. And by the way, some of you are aware of a teaching I did recently called Letting Go of the I Am Bad Belief. You might want to listen to that if you haven't heard it yet. It's at reginadonacres.com underneath recent audios. You can scroll down and find it. Kathy, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Your teaching, Regina, very much goes with the reading from The Untethered Soul this morning. We started on chapter 11, I believe it was, and it's called Pain, the Price for Freedom. And even for me, the title of that, it's like, ugh, this feeling of ugh comes over sometimes. And there does seem to be a price we pay to release the pain we all hold, whatever that pain is surrounding, whether it's, like you said, rejection or unworthiness or I'm bad or I'm a loser or whatever thoughts we hold within our own mind. That's a pain that we hold and we continue to hold until we're willing to actually let it come up, relax in looking at it, and simply decide, I don't want this anymore. I'm not willing to keep this anymore. I want to look at it with spirit. And I think spirit gently, side by side, aids us in not becoming so engrossed in it and adding on with further thoughts and further fears surrounding it. And so it very much segues, your talk very much segues into what we read this morning. There does seem to be some sort of a price we pay, whether the interesting thing is if we don't face the fear, if we don't allow it to come up, that's the price. It affects our experience day to day. There is no price when we look at it with spirit. The price is we let it go. There's no sacrifice involved. That's where the healing happens. The price is in not looking at it. And so it's just another reinforcement for the very same idea. And I appreciate that's the way it turned out today. You reinforced that very idea. Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Kathy. That was very, very clear. The price is not looking at it. Exactly. Like I said, if you deny it, you know, it still backs up just like my septic system did. also, Jay has just sent me a private message letting me know that he did check, and Larry Lawhorn is actually not a member of Awakening Together, and so, of course, he's not eligible to be nominated to the Member Board of Trustees, so he's going to be removed from the list. But we still have a lot of nominees. Let's see, we have Miley. We have Myron Jones. We have, Jennifer Miley Nahulu. I'll give her the full name. We have Myron Jones. We have Sydney Haskell, which is Brent Haskell's wife. And there was someone else, Jay. Can you remind me? Dove says he's a nominated Adele Nepley. So the nominations are coming in, which is brilliant. And again, remember, if you don't have someone, Lisa Natoli was the other one, yes. And remember, if you don't have someone in mind that you want to nominate, you can wait. You know, just wait. I would say, if it was me, I'd say a week, but you make your own choice. But kind of let people nominate. And then I would go in and I would look at the list of nominations, and I would pick the three I want to agree with. Because remember, we do need people to agree. We need to see who the top nominated people are. This is to put people on the ballot. It would be great if we had, like, at least six people on the ballot for three seats. And then there'll be a final vote. So first we go through a nomination process to see who gets on the ballot. Then we will do a voting process. But you're allowed to go in and agree with three nominations, or you could nominate one person and go agree with two more. No, you can nominate three people if you want to. So you have three nomination tickets, we'll call it. So you can nominate three people. You can agree with three nominations. You could nominate one person and agree with two, nominate two people and agree with one, but you only have three tickets. And you cannot put all three tickets on the same person. It has to be, you know, you're looking at three different seats. Who do I want on the ballot for these three seats? And again, in order to nominate you, send an email to election@awakening-together.org. And whoever you nominate does need to be a charter member. And you can find the list of charter members plus all the information about the election process by going to four members, member board nominations. And I'm really excited to see people getting involved in this process, because that's how this organization is set up to be. So I'm really excited about this. What I'm going to do is play a closing song. I wanted to end with something light, not heavy. Something very, very light, so that we realize that we can experience this pain, but we can go in and rest with it. We can realize that if we're doing nothing with it but looking at it, that it is healing. There can actually be eventually with practice, there actually becomes a joy in this process, and many people can tell you that. That when the pain comes up, there's something like, oh, goody. Like, oh, goody, I get to go in and do more healing. And so I wanted to point towards that light instead of towards the darkness. So here's an oldie, but a goodie, and it's about singing in the rain.
I'm singing, just singing. What a glorious feeling.
day. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. But the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, have a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain and singing, just singing. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the plains. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain and singing, just singing in the rain.
Asked me through a private message, when will the MPP program begin again, the Minister Preparation Program? I get asked that question a lot. Again, I'm excited that you all are excited about being in the Minister Preparation Program. Of course, my schedule can only do so much, but right now what I am doing is certifying five others to also teach the True Discernment portion of the MPP program. And we are hoping to start the MPP program again in August. The best way to find out about the MPP program is to be subscribed to our daily updates. Because when we open up for enrollment again, that's where we're going to announce it. So if you're not subscribed to our daily updates, please do subscribe. You can do that by going to awakening-together.org and then the Join Us menu. Join Us and Daily Updates. And subscribe, and that's where it will be announced as soon as it opens up. But we're hoping it will start in August, which means it may be announced in July as possibility. So watch for that. Barb has also just put a link in the room so you can subscribe to the updates. Someone else asked, Ken asked, is this Andy Williams? This is actually a group called Graham Boulevard. Graham Boulevard, and the album is Hits from the Movies, Volume 2. So I just like the way that sounded. So, yeah, Graham Boulevard, I like their sound. All right, everyone, I'm going to release the mic, turn it over to Len for our social time. And I will not be here tonight for my normal teaching. I'm actually taking a few weeks off, about 5 weeks off, because of a variety of conflicts that I have on my calendar. But I will be here at 10 p.m. Eastern time for the daily contemplation. So I will see you all then. Everybody have a great day.